Welcome to the Confident Working Mom Podcast. I am so excited that you are here because I've created this show especially for you. Working moms, just like me, struggling with the dichotomy of wanting to be the best mom they can be, contrasted with the strong desire of being more than just a mom and pursue their own dreams and aspirations. I'm your host, Carmen Benton. Welcome to the Confident Working Mom Podcast Season 4. Today, we're a little casual because it's Saturday, but
yes,
I have a super special guest coming today to talk to us because she has a lot of similarities with me. I'm so glad she's here. Her name is Jenny Elliott, and she is also a career mom, and she's also a podcaster. So this is going to be a treat for you guys. So she is a mom of a three-year-old son, and she's been married to her husband for 8 years and working in a Fortune 100 company for 13 years. So that's, you know, a lot going on, you guys. After she had her son and decided to go back to work, she was not prepared for the identity crisis that she was going to experience. And we're going to hear all about it today. And that's when she decided to start her podcast, Career Mom Podcast, which you should also check out. And so in that podcast, she has conversations with working moms about the joys and challenges that comes with juggling raising kids and a career. So welcome, Jenny. Thank you for being in the show today.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited for our conversation.
I couldn't help but to notice that you have the Nordstrom lights behind you.
I do.
Totally appropriate and funny and everything, because I am in Alaska and I don't have those, but that's cool. I love to see them in your screen.
Yeah, I have the background up because it is hiding the disaster that is my basement, which is now also my office and my podcast studio. So I'm very thankful for like Zoom backgrounds to hide the madness behind me.
That's funny. So I don't know if you know, but this is my laundry room.
Really? Oh, you have a fancy laundry room.
So I used to have all of these pictures in my real office. And, you know, and since we don't even know when, if we ever will go back to the office, I went one day and I got all my stuff. And this is the only quiet place where my kids will not come find me because no one wants to come to the laundry room. So I made it my office.
That's awesome. I know, you got to get a little creative with these like home office spaces these days.
Totally, totally. So Jenny, let's talk about you. Tell us a little bit about, you know, what you do, about what drives you, about your kid, about your life. So everyone can get the context of everything we're going to talk later.
Yeah. So, I mean, high level, you summed up in the bio, I have a three-year-old son who is a high energy, crazy boy. So he keeps me pretty busy and active during the weekends and everything. I also have had a career in corporate America in a large organization for going on 13 years. I work in the accounting and finance function. And I just really enjoy working and having a career. And up until I had my son, I didn't realize like what my career meant to me, or even really like that I had a career. Like it just, you know, I just went to work. So it wasn't until I had my son and balancing work and motherhood was such a challenge that I really did a lot of reflecting to figure out, you know, what my career means to me, what it means to be a working mom. Because I love everything about being a mom, all the challenges, all the struggles, all the love and the joy that comes with it. But I also knew that I was not cut out or wanting to be a stay-at-home mom. So I did a lot of soul searching and reflecting. And I actually, after doing some research and listening to some other podcasts, realized that I had a full-blown identity crisis after the birth of my son. And especially after navigating those first like 3 to 6 months of transitioning back into the workforce. And once I kind of knew what was happening and was able to put words around my experience, then I started asking colleagues and friends and other people about, you know, did you have an identity crisis or what was this experience like? Because I felt so alone when I was going through it. And everyone's like, oh yeah, of course. I asked my mom, my aunts, like everybody, coworkers, friends. So I just realized it was something that like we just don't talk about. And then, you know, fast forward a year, I was kind of looking for a creative outlet and I was having all these great conversations with friends about identity and working motherhood. And we would make jokes about like, oh gosh, that could have been a podcast episode, or why isn't there a podcast about this? And so one day I just started it and, you know, looked into how you could record yourself and put it out in the universe. And I've now been doing that for a year, and it's so fun and incredible because I've gotten so connected with people like you and so many other great supportive working women that it's kind of grown into this community, which has helped me, you know, fulfill my motherhood and career even more. So, so that's kind of everything about me. On the side, I have a husband and a dog, and and I like to do a lot of things before COVID that we now can't do. So life looks a lot different now, obviously, but travel and all of that type of stuff is a big part of my life as well.
So, oh my God, I was writing notes because I'm like, I don't want to forget it. You have hit so many key points into this. Like number one, the grass is never greener in the other side. Ladies, listen to this. So I also thought I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. I thought for a second, because when I was pregnant, I would go to the mall. I was living in California the first time around. And I would go to Valley Fair in San Jose, and I'll see all this, you know, lunchtime. Well, I had like, you know, 30 minutes to go get something to eat or buy something and go back to the office. I was seeing these moms with the strollers, chatting, having coffee. And I'm like, really nice to do that, right? And so I somehow manifested the fact that I was able to stay at home. That's where we moved to Alaska to. I was able to stay at home with my son. And I'm going to say something. I mean, I have so much admiration for stay at home moms. I wanted to shoot myself. I need that for me. Working is like to my 14 years old, playing Minecraft is the instant gratification of doing something that goes beyond, you know, raising my children, that I can use my intellect and interact with people. It's my dopamine. That's my drug. Mm-hmm. Like I love it. Right. So
yeah.
You think you want these things, but you never know all the struggles that other thing has, right?
For sure.
So yeah. When people said the grass is not green on the other side, it's actually a fact.
Yeah, well, and I think what I've kind of learned too through this journey is, yeah, the grass isn't always greener, but if I focus on my grass and I stop worrying about, you know, is a good mom a stay-at-home mom, or is a good mom a part-time working mom, or all of the other aspects of working motherhood, even that you can have, you know, I'm not a mompreneur. I still work for a large company. So there are some, you know, aspects of my flexibility that I can't control. But if I just focus on, I am a corporate working mom, and this is what my life looks like, and my grass is right here. So I'm going to pay attention and water my own grass instead of worrying about everybody else's. That's really when I figured that out, that I felt like I stepped into my motherhood journey and I wasn't looking at the expectations and comparisons of everybody else's.
Jenny, I'm not going to take credit for that. You need to write. That's beautiful. Focus on your own grass and then
yes,
be greener, right? Like, as you said, you thought that you wanted to start a podcast and you just figured out how to do it. Just start damn thing you want to do, right? Like, mm-hmm. You don't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be pretty. You're going to get better as you do it. And stop comparing yourself. to the mom next door, to the mom next door, to that lady has a business, to that lady has it all together, right? Just do it. Do it your way. Yeah. Put fertilizer, you know, TLC to the thing that you're doing, and it'll get greener, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the thing that goes along with that as well is we don't realize how much mental energy, and that just the thought processes like also suck up physical energy. But when I went back to work and I was sitting at my desk being like, oh my gosh, is this the right thing? This is so hard. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm like not even working 2 hours a day between like pump breaks and all of that stuff. So all of that energy that I was second guessing myself and comparing myself to stay-at-home moms or thinking that I wasn't doing the right thing or feeling guilty that my kid was at daycare. Once I, you know, focused on my own grass and kind of figured out what works for me and what my working motherhood journey is, then like work became easier. Like everything was just like, oh, this is what I'm doing and I'm going to be at work for these 8 hours. And so when I'm here, I'm going to work. And then I had like the more focus and I had the ability to actually work. And then when I went home, it's like, okay, this is home time and I'm not worrying about work or anything. So it's like, once we get rid of that excess in our minds, then you can put it towards all of that mental energy towards something that's going to start making improvements in your life.
Absolutely. And I think that's when, you know, 14 years ago when I had my kids, that's when I started studying and understanding the power of mindset and, you know, meditation and self-talk, right? Because we say the meanest things to ourselves. Like, you wouldn't tell your worst enemy the things that we tell ourselves, right?
Yeah.
And you need to learn to nip it in the bud. Like, you know, like taking your kids to daycare, you automatically assume that you're ruining the kid's life, that it's going to be a disaster. Think about it for a second. The kid has a play date for 8 hours straight. How bad can that be?
Like, yeah.
It's like, and I mean, obviously you have to have a good daycare provider, but even though my kids, one of them used to cry every day and it, like, I couldn't leave, like, right. It was like heartbreaking, right? But then when I came to pick her up, she never wanted to leave.
Yeah.
Then eventually I'm like, oh, wait a second. This is drama manipulation in the morning, right? Because if it was really that bad, she'd be like, let's get out of here now, right?
Yeah.
We'll have to drag her out. Then she would cry to leave too. And I was like, okay, I think I need to reframe how I'm thinking about the situation. And then everything was just so much better. There's no... And I can tell you, as my kids those two are teenagers now, they're so independent. It's, you know, so independent.
Yeah.
And the relationship hasn't changed. I mean, it's I think it's a good thing, because you're not going to be, I mean, I have a kid who's 14 years old. He's going to go to college in 4 years. I cry when I think about it.
That's crazy. So, I know.
So I still have some room to go, but I want him to be able to do his laundry. I want him to be able to make his bed. I want him to be able to, you know, figure out what he's going to do if I'm not around, because he's going to be by himself pretty soon. 14 years ago, like this. So, but it's important to, I think the identity crisis you're talking about, everyone goes through it. And in my case, I didn't want to talk about it because I thought it was going to be weak. You know, I thought if I had to ask for help, I was being... you know, I wasn't living to my standards.
Yep. Yeah.
And so I tried to do it all. And then I went to postpartum depression and I learned that help is actually something that you have to get at all levels of your life, right? Like, not just when you have a little baby, but at all levels of your life, help, you need to ask for help. And it's something that I don't think we're taught to do. Mm-hmm. But we need to make sure more women know that it's okay to ask for help.
Yeah, I definitely had the same experience and all of that resonates with me as well. And I think part of it, you know, being in the workforce, and this is one of the things that I really kind of came to a head when I was doing a lot of my like reflecting on my identity, is that like from the time that we're in school, you know, I'm going to make some generalizations and assume that if we're all talking about having careers that were driven, successful women. And so I, ever since high school, you know, was striving to get that A, and then same into college, or, you know, then you get into college and then you build this career and you have this career path and these goals and you're like achieving, achieving, achieving. And then motherhood comes and smacks you across the face where it's like, you're, first of all, you're not going to get any type of professional feedback.
Like, where's the book?
Let me start. Right. Right. You're not, and even once you just like, you know, get into the swing of things, you're not getting feedback from your infant in the way that like, all right, if I really like people to tell me that I'm doing good at my job. Like, I like that reassurance. And that's something that, you know, when I start a new job, I tell people like, I don't need a lot of recognition, but like, you kind of gotta just tell me every once in a while that I'm doing fine. And then like, I'll keep going. You don't get that with an infant. You don't have like a performance review to say, don't worry, like you might have imposter syndrome, but I'm here to tell you that like, you're doing fine. So if we're not having these conversations with other people, then we're feeling like we're the only person that's struggling with motherhood and that's, you know, really not sure what they're doing. And unless you have a really close, you know, friend or circle, that's not really something that you want to be that vulnerable in your workplace either. So for me, I was kind of the first one of my friend group even to have young children and go back to work. And so I didn't really have an outlet or a place to like have these conversations as they were happening. And that's really unfortunate. And I think that's something that, you know, obviously your podcast, since we're talking about it now, that's something that I try to do with my podcast. And in the past just year, there's so many more working mom podcasts, which I think are fantastic, because I turn to podcasts for a lot of my like pregnancy resources and birth and everything. And then it was like, I was searching for podcasts that would like, that I could relate to. And there weren't any coming from women that were in like a corporate environment. And so I still thought like, okay, well, if no one's, you know, making podcasts or talking about this, then it is just me. And I'm the one that's struggling and I'm the one that's failing to do it all. And that's clearly not healthy for any of us. So yeah, I totally relate to that. And it does take time to realize that you need to ask for help, but that's something that I try to, you know, when I have friends that are pregnant and whatever, you know, try to hit them over the head with the, like, don't even try to do it all. Like, just don't, it's not worth it, because you get burned out so fast.
Or it's a phase, right? Everything is a phase. So, you know, it's going to be better and it's going to change. So never get attached to it. So I have, in my job, I have the, I guess, the blessing and the pleasure to mentor women who work for me. And there's one in particular who just became a mom in January. So she was maternity leave and smart enough to know, like, I better get back to work before this gets crazy. So her maternity leave was over in April, and she came back to work like right after spring break, all remotely. She's, you know, we've done only since March, and now she's pregnant again. So she has this 1-year-old precious girl who attends all our staff meetings. She's lovely. And now she's pregnant. And so I have been, you know, blessed to be able to give her perspective for someone who has a career, successful career, and a shitload of kids, because I have 6 of them. So, and I remember one of her, when she got pregnant with her current pregnancy, she was worried that it was going to hinder her career growth. And I'm like, your boss has 6 kids. And she's like, oh yeah, that's true. So no, it this is true. Like, you know, I also have my coaching practice, and the women that I coach have full-time businesses that require them to be like a corporate job. Like, these are like operations where you need to be there as a CEO and do all this kind of stuff. And it's the same thing, it's a struggle, because now it's like self-imposed, right? It's like worse. And when you get to a financial situation, which is some of the struggles that I had, where I didn't need to work, but I wanted to work. And obviously the fact that I work makes our life so much better, right? Because it's two good incomes. But the guilt of, you're doing this to your kids, but you don't have to do it. You're so selfish, right? But what's going to happen to you when the kids don't need you anymore? So there is a way. This is when I came up with the, I guess, mantra, I don't know, quality versus quantity. When I am with my kids, I am, phone is away, I'm fully focused on what I'm doing. We play, we cook together, we go on bike rides. I do travel a lot, because I find that when we travel, we create the best memories. So yesterday I was talking to my 14-year-old, you know, he's growing so fast. And I'm like, oh, we're going on a trip, him and I, like, I have to. We did it 2 years ago, and we went for, I do these crazy things. We went for 48 hours to LA. We flew overnight. We went to the park, just him and I. And then we came back. And I could, it was great, because I didn't have to be mom of 6. It was him and I having fun. And he was 12. So, you know, it was the best time. And I'm like, I have to do it with him. I have to do it with my other daughter, who's now 12. And just quality, right? And quality of time. Because it's like what I tell my employees too. It's like, I don't care if you're 8 hours in front of the computer if you're not doing anything productive. I'd rather you be there for 4 hours and do something amazing, right? And then, you know, go to your other thing than browsing Facebook or pretending that you're working. I mean, let's be honest. This is what people do, right? Like, so be productive for whatever time your brain allows you to be productive. Be fully present with your kids and your family, the time that you have, and make it special. And then go do your other thing. Right. So that's what I think. So, Jenny, let's talk about, what do you think it takes for a mom to feel confident when she's working, when she's a working mom?
That is such a complicated question, because I feel like motherhood is just a roller coaster of, like, the second you feel confident, you get thrown down the big drop, and it shakes you up again. But my experience and my confidence came once I got to the other side of that identity crisis. And I got there by thinking about, like, who am I? And it seems like such a simple question, but I realized, you know, when you become a mother, that becomes a very big part of your identity. Obviously, it becomes a very big label. You know, you're a mom, you're Cameron's mom. So that was obvious, that was a huge part of my life now. But then it was like, well, what are the other pieces? And that's when I realized that, like, you know, up until that point, I never thought about who I am or what I get fulfilled by or why I feel those ways. So I started getting really deep into some of those questions. And that's when I realized that at the time I had my son, I had been working for 10 years. And, you know, I've kind of already mentioned, like, I like the feedback to know that I'm good at something. I like the feeling when I present to a large group and I kill it. And I like the fulfillment of doing a good job and getting a bonus and getting promotions. And so when I was looking at all of that, I realized that, like, I have a career. And I'm a career woman, and I've been working on building this reputation and all these things around my career for 10 years. So that's obviously not just going to, like, go away overnight. So then that's when it led into, okay, how do I make my version of working mom life work, because I'm working because it's a part of who I am and it's something that fulfills me. And so then that kind of gave me the validation of like, yeah, I am doing the right thing, even though it's really hard. And then, you know, that also gave me some time to be like, okay, what else do I really enjoy doing? And how do I make time for that? Because outside of raising a child and having a career, there still has to be a part of me for me. And so that's when I started telling my husband, like, you know, I need an hour that I can go for a walk and get outside and like be by myself. And once you kind of figure out like who you truly are and what that means in your motherhood journey, then I feel like you can step into that version of yourself. And then that, like, you know, kind of has a snowball effect of, then I knew what my values were, I knew what my priorities were, and all of these really big decisions didn't seem as overwhelming because I knew what and who I was and why I was doing those things. So it's kind of defining your motherhood and all of that stuff.
I couldn't agree more. So I have non-negotiable me time. And it's so funny because, so for me, it's taking a bath. I have to take a bath. it relaxes me. I have back pain since I was 17 because I was in an accident. And I mean, no one hears about it because I never complain about it. But sometimes it gets to the point that I have to get, you know, I have to get hot water, either or a bath. But I also meditate in the bath, and when I'm in the water with the Epsom salts, and it's just like the perfect manifestation bowl for me. So this year, this last Christmas was the first time I was like, oh my God, my kids are like seen by example, because words don't teach. My daughters are learning that self-care is important. My sons are learning that it's important that the woman gets self-care. So my kids went and bought me this huge basket with their own money from their allowance, from Lodge, with bubble baths and all kind of like self-care stuff. First time they didn't give me some crazy slippers I'm never going to use.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you have to say like, oh, this is so cute. You know, because I'm all about like, I just want you to be nice. You know, I don't need any stuff that I'm going to have to stuff in the closet and never use again. But that's like, oh my God, this is great, because they know this is what I need. At least once a week I take a bath, sometimes two and three, but at least once a week, and non-negotiable. And you have to put those boundaries, and it only makes me a better person, because when I come out of the bath, my cup is filled. You know, it's full with love, and I am so much nicer to everyone. You can ask my husband, you can ask. The same thing goes with going on trips, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm from Panama and I live in Alaska. So, you know, I get sun depleted very often. My oldest son, you often said, if I'm getting too cranky, he's like, Mom, you need to go to Hawaii for the weekend, because I've done that. And I come back like such a loving person.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing I was thinking about hearing you speak about the career and wanting to get promotions and all that, because this just happened to me. So in the last 2 weeks, I got a new role because there was someone higher than me who wasn't doing the job. So literally with like playing musical chairs in the department, and I got a whole bunch of messes to clean up, and I transferred my piece, which is perfectly coordinated and executed and everything, to someone. And as we're doing these transitions, one of the persons I'm handing stuff is like, oh, we need to stop taking requests because we have to finish this transition. And I'm like, what? No, the boss asked for something, we're gonna get it done. It just needs to get done. And he's like all overwhelmed, like, how can we do this? And I think as moms, we learn to just do it, right? Mm-hmm. And this
1,000%
is needs to come. There's no option, you know, like the kid falls down or threw up or, you know, something, and you still have to work and you still have to take care of the kid and you still have to cook and you still, you know, it's like you get sick and no one knows because there's no sick days for moms, right? Mm-hmm. And I think if women realize that that's a superpower you have confidence immediately, right? Because you are more likely than a man to actually be able to do it all. They don't know how to do that. I have to do it.
I feel like I am a better employee since I've become a mom. Not the first year that I was going back, you know, that's hard. You're stressed. The kid's sick all the time. So you're out. Like, I think if we give ourselves the realistic expectation that whenever you transition back into the workforce from any type of leave, whether it's, you know, maternity leave, or maybe you took a couple years off and now you're getting back, like there's going to be some growing pains. My personal experience was like that whole first year being back and that whole first year of motherhood, really, it took me that long to build that confidence and harness it and kind of use it to my advantage. But once I did, you better believe I know exactly what I need to get done in a day. And I think that comes from the learned experience in that really challenging first year of, all right, tomorrow could be a sick day. Like daycare could call in an hour and I have to leave and go get my son. So what has to be done right now? And what, you know, kind of that balance of urgent versus important, like you're telling me this is urgent, but is it really urgent? Or this, I know that this task is way more important than these other four things that are going on. So I'm going to focus on this one thing. And then that fuels, you know, productivity, that efficiency, just keeps building. Yes. Yeah. And the other thing that I think we don't give ourselves enough credit for is just like when you bring your authentic self to work and a mother is so patient, is so empathetic. Like I used to sit in meetings and just be like, oh my God, this could have been an email. This, everybody's so annoying, whatever. And then I became a mom and it's like, oh, okay. Yep. You want
to
keep
that talking? Didn't happen to me.
Yeah. Like, okay. Yeah. You're tired. All right. Yeah. Me too. Okay. I'm going to go like get 10 more things than you done. It changes your whole perspective. And I think that women don't give themselves enough credit for all that they can do and, you know, the better version of themselves that they are then bringing into the workforce. And it makes me really fired up and riled up when, you know, you hear stories of people, especially with COVID, like, you know, moms that are being let go or kind of forced out of the workforce. Because I think if men truly knew what's going on in our heads and the mental loads that we are balancing on top of this high performance work, like there would be no question about supporting working moms. But there's so much that we do without talking about it.
Right? Like, yeah. It is hard.
Yeah. There's just so much that happens that we think is normal, that then when you take a step back and even on a bad day, like list out all of the things that you did. Like you fed a kid 3 meals, you changed them how many times, you cooked a dinner, you went to work, you did how many meetings, how many emails, how many whatever. Like it's really impressive what we're capable of.
Yes. And I think we are so afraid to speak up that we lose perspective of if you're in a job, you're paid for results. You're not paid to punch the car, right? So understand that. And so I put boundaries very early and my boundaries changes with time. So I have an autistic kid. The kid has 40 hours of therapy on top of school. Guess what? Sometimes I have to take him. I have someone who helps me. I pay someone to drive him around, but sometimes I have to take him. Sometimes I have to talk to the therapist. Sometimes I have to talk to the teacher. when my oldest son was in elementary, I had the director, the principal of the school, in speed dial, because he had ADHD, and I was called about 4 days a week, you know, with something. And it was like, okay, I have to go to the school. But I always over-deliver in my results. So it became this thing that it didn't matter if I was there or not, if I have to leave or not, my things will get done, even if I have to stay up later. So there's 24 hours, right? And sometimes you're gonna have to only sleep four, and I'm not saying that's sustainable, but if you have to do it one day or two because you have a big project coming up or something you need to push and something happened with your kids, you can do it. You can, and then just take some R&R. So, but you need to make the boundaries, right? Your boss is not gonna know that you are going through this unless you talk to them. So that's the first thing.
Yeah, I think communication is key in just every realm. You know, it took a really long time for just even my husband and I to have open communication about, you know, what our work schedules mean and who does what. And then I absolutely think that that needs to be a conversation that carries over into the workforce. And that was one of the things that saved me with COVID. And I think that, you know, hopefully that's been a good lesson for all of us of how to have conversations about expectations and boundaries and work and home, because the lines are so blurred right now. My son was, I mean, he was two a year ago when all this started, and his daycare at the beginning was closed for 12 weeks. And so my husband and I were both working from home. He was home with us. And I just had a conversation with my boss about, you know, I have a two-year-old home. He doesn't even watch a movie if I wanted him to. Like, he has a 2-minute attention span. So me trying to be on a call and have him around is just not going to work. And then my husband and I had a similar conversation of, you know, if I take the morning, then you take the afternoon. And so it was a conversation of what are the expectations in my job right now, because all of those projects that I thought I was going to do this quarter are not happening. So if I work 4 hours a day, because the other four I have to allow my husband to work and mother, what do you need to see from me? And I have never had a conversation like that before. And it was so freeing to be like, I know exactly what I have to do. And so working only 4 hours was manageable because I wasn't trying to do everything. And then I just couldn't help but think, like, if I would have had that conversation coming back after maternity leave of like, okay, you know, my plan before I left was that I was going to do these three big projects over the year. Okay. Well, turns out motherhood's a little more challenging than I thought. What one should I do? Like, where should I focus my energy? What's the priority? Let's get aligned on this and then just work towards that instead of thinking. And I transitioned jobs when my son was like 6 months, which was also a disaster. But like, I thought that I had to do everything the second somebody asked for it, the second an email came in. Like, I didn't have any type of filter, as to like what the expectation was. And that for this first year, you know, I can't go above and beyond and do 150% like I did pre-baby, but I was trying to still operate at that level.
So what you just said there, I'm just going to summarize it with, there's always a silver lining.
Yeah.
Here, and you had that episode on your podcast, which I love to be part of. And thank you for inviting me, where, you know, we were talking about 2020.
Yeah.
From the heart. You know what? How many? Oh my God, you got to be a mom for 4 hours and work for 4 hours. You had it all, right? Like, how... when in the world I would be able to homeschool my kids, still work in my corporate job, get promoted, be at home, you know, work for my yoga pants, sorry, and, you know, not have to commute. Like,
Yeah.
Or I have to get up at 6 in the morning. No, I get up at 7:30. It's awesome.
I know. God, I don't know how I'm going to like be able to go back to being in an office and yeah, commuting and everything. So yeah, I think
there's always a silver lining to everything that happens. There's a silver lining. And
so yeah,
I'm saying the COVID was good, but if you get in the habit of trying to find the goodness in everything that's around you, your life is going to be so much better.
Yeah. And it comes down to, you know, your mindset and what you're telling yourself, because mm-hmm. I mean, looking back on it, yes, it was amazing to have 4 hours with my son and only work for 4 hours. When I was going through it, it was terrible. Like, because he's also a 2-year-old with emotions through the roof and like, but it was, what am I telling myself? I'm in these really hard moments. Am I telling myself this sucks? I can't do this anymore. Sure. Yeah. There were days when I was, but it wasn't until I just kind of embraced like, this is what it is. You know, I'm scared for what COVID means and all of those things, like acknowledging that it's hard and then that you have no control over it. And then trying to see the positives, because I think it's so easy to just get swept up in, you know, COVID times or all of the challenging times of new motherhood and like feel all of these emotions and like want to fix it. And the other biggest thing that I've learned twice now with, you know, going into motherhood and then with COVID too, is that there are some things that are just going to be hard and you can't fix them. Any other time in my life, you know, get passed over for a promotion, all right, I will network harder. I will take on more projects. I will fix it. I will improve it. I will like do better. And when you're in the throes of motherhood and your work and your family life are kind of always going to be at odds and at this level of tension, there are some times where you just can't fix it. And so you just kind of have to sit in these really hard, uncomfortable, challenging times and know that they're not going to last forever.
There's always a lesson. What I, you know, I
yes.
tell myself, what doesn't kill you make you stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have had times where I was down on the floor, you know, crying, only got up because of my kids, right? And what doesn't kill you make you stronger.
Yes. So
that's like, that's one of my mottos, you know, that I should frame and put in everyone's window, because it's what's gotten me through so much drama. Trust me.
Yeah. And my motto kind of along that conversation too, is not every emotion requires action. Like some days I'm just going to feel super guilty about the way that, you know, daycare drop off went and I can't do anything about it.
Yes. I love that. I love that too. You should put it in that quote on Instagram.
Yeah.
Focus on your own grass.
Yeah. Yeah. The greener. Yes.
So I have a short list of crazy questions that I do with all my, to kind of get it going. And so that's how I like to close the show. And then after that, we'll remind everyone where to find you.
Okay.
In social media, so everyone can go listen to your amazing podcast. I love
it.
Yeah. Do it too. And so are you ready?
I am ready.
What is your wildest dream?
Oh, to go on like a year round around the world trip.
Yes. So with that, the next one is, what is a bucket place? What is a place in your bucket list?
Place in my bucket list. I have a lot.
Big one.
Probably Thailand.
I was going to say Bora Bora. No, I was going to use like Bora Bora.
Yeah.
What is your best quality?
I think my empathetic nature and then the way that that allows me to like communicate with people.
What is one flaw of your personality?
Perfectionism.
What is your favorite chocolate?
Ooh, like a dark chocolate with a caramel center.
So what is one actor that you found extremely sexy?
Oh, George Clooney.
Oh, yeah. Like,
old man.
What's the name of your pet?
Russell.
Oh, I like Russell.
He's a little teeny tiny wiener dog.
Is there anything that you regret and what?
I try not to live with regrets. And I can't really think of anything major. I love it. That's the best answer. So I'm sure there's stuff in there, but I won't even let myself go.
Yeah, you know what? The way I live my life since I was like a crazy teenager was hashtag no regrets. There were hashtags, but Michael Myers said hashtag no regrets. Okay, so last one is, now I can understand my handwriting here. What is one thing that you're committed to doing in 2021?
I am very committed to anti-racism.
I love that.
Yes.
Love it.
I've done a lot of reading and want to continue doing that and getting involved in, you know, educating my son in a better kind of conversation around race and America and all the things that are going on in our country. I think it's really, really important.
So it's funny. So I'm Hispanic, and my older kid's dad, he's first American generation. His parents are Canadian, coming from Denmark and Germany. The reason I'm saying this is because there's a lot of Caucasian there, like, right? So I'm Hispanic, and my dad was from Barcelona and my mom was from Panama. But I'm, you know, my skin is fair, right?
Yeah.
So my kids did the 23andMe, a DNA test with their dad. And my daughter has 10% African on her. And my son has 12, which is actually paler than her. And so it's actually a great conversation to have, right? Because we all have a little bit of everything.
Yes.
Of course, they had all these questions like, oh, how did that happen? I'm like, I don't know. It's going to Spain. I don't know. It doesn't, does it matter? Does it matter?
Yeah.
So maybe that's, you know, when he gets older, it'll be interesting to see if you guys have. Probably not. I mean, it's just probably coming from my heritage, but that was, you know, race and stigmas is something I take very seriously in my household. I had a cow, I think two Christmases ago, that someone gave my daughter a Latina Barbie. This Barbie had, I'm gonna say it the way I said it, had an ass of the size of an orange.
Oh my gosh.
Livid about it. I'm like, okay, you couldn't make it just, you know, dark hair, maybe a little darker skin. Why do you need to make such a big thing about the butt?
Yeah. It's interesting.
I was drinking way too much at that time. but I lost it. Like I was talking to my husband and his oldest son, who is now 20. So it was okay. But I was like, leave it, like, oh my god, like, this is like, you know, the biggest racism ever. And so I get it.
Yeah, well, and it's just interesting, like, you know, once you kind of open your eyes to a lot of that stuff, like, it's all over our toys, it's all over books, you know, just the lack of representation of other races, and then the lack of conversation and the comfort level that, you know, white people have talking about this. It's like, okay, I totally understand how we got here, and I have to actively do better. And that, I think, as a parent, starts with me doing my own education and kind of soul searching around what all of this means to me, so that when he does get older, we can have really productive conversations around race and what all of that means in our country.
I love it. I love it. And Jenny, thank you so much for being on the show today. Why don't you tell everyone where to find you?
Yeah, I am mainly just on Instagram at Career Mom Podcast, but then you can find Career Mom anywhere that you listen to podcasts.
I love it. And you guys should go listen. It's very good.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here at the Company and Working Mom Podcast. And it's been a pleasure to have you here.
Yeah, this was great. Thank you so much. Great.
Thank you for listening to the Confident Working Mom podcast with your host, Carmen Benton. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or Anchor FM and many other platforms so you don't miss a beat and you can join the conversation. See you soon in the next episode.